Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is Force Center, a show about Star Wars, pop culture, the ultimate adventure, life itself, and deciding important things in a subjective manner. This is Subjective Wars. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Jennifer Landa.
And today, in honor of, well, May being the 25th anniversary month of The Phantom Menace, we are going to the heart of that film to decide today, perhaps once and for all, what is the best death in Phantom Menace, Qui-Gon Jinn or Rats Tyrell? Oh, Joseph, we're going in deep today.
I'm so excited about this. We were discussing, like, we should do something Phantom Menace theme for Subjective Wars. That'd be really fun. Maybe something Qui-Gon related. And then it was Ken's idea of like, well, both Rats Tyrell and Qui-Gon Jinn, characters of the same level of importance to the Star Wars canon. They both perish in this film. And like, well, what about Darth Maul? Well, he lived. So Rats Tyrell and Qui-Gon, maybe Rats Tyrell is still living in the Force. What if at the end of Kenobi, it was Rats Tyrell who showed up, not Qui-Gon Jinn? So we were like, is this too wild? And we said, no. We want these Subjective Wars episodes to be both fun, and sometimes we wander into some deeper thoughts, and we don't know where we're going to wander with this one. Mm-hmm. Because we don't decide the metrics ahead of time. This isn't which death is more tragic. This isn't which death is more funny. This is which is better. Which one do we like more? And we will find out as we discuss. As always, we like to start with just taking the temperature. If there's an obvious answer, an obvious leaning. Ken, this idea grew out of your ironic, grumpy heart. Do you have a bias when we decided we were going to do this? Best death threats in Phantom Menace, Rest Tyrell versus Qui-Gon Jinn. Were you like, well, of course it's this.
I mean, you just basically laid out my case for Rats Tyrell. Funniest, most tragic, most important. It's all there. I'm going to start with Rats. Are there reasons to say it's Qui-Gon? Of course. That's why this is a tough debate. I love Qui-Gon Jinn. I love all the lore around his death. I love the importance, both good and bad, of his death. I love that Dave Filoni speech about his death. I'm there for all of it. But there's something that has never left my heart since May 25th, 1999, and that is...
Jennifer, do you have a starting point where you are leaning one way or the other on this very important decision?
I was pretty clear on where I thought I started. I was like, well, this is obvious. And then when I started doing some research, I was like, is it? Is it obvious? I don't know. There is definitely a strong case for Rats Tyrell being.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a strong case.
Yeah. Mm. I think I'm starting pretty neutral because it's this fascinating contrast to me of like Qui-Gon Jinn, perhaps one of the most important deaths, the duel of the fates. Will he live? Will he die? How does it impact the galaxy? The tragedy, all sorts of great conversations among fans about why is he in the movie? You know, why did George Lucas add him? Why isn't it just Obi-Wan? All this great stuff of import and weight attached to Qui-Gon's death. The various soundtrack and spoiling his death. A weighty death in many ways. Rats Tyrell is a different story because Rats Tyrell is just is a beat in an action scene, right? It's a little weirdo goes and explodes, right?
How dare you, sir? But yes, a little weirdo.
Part of an action scene. But it's this, and then they do decide, the people working in the film's like, let's have his family wander through the background of a scene to make it extra heartbreaking, right? But there's no, to my recollection, that was not pointed out on a DVD extra. Maybe it was, and I'm misremembering. What I'm moved by in Rat's death is that this is a death where the meaning was created by the community, by Star Wars fans. It's poured over and over the Phantom Menace and like, wait, I believe canonically he's the only one who actually dies. It's a horrible, sudden, violent death. His family's wandering around in the background in this amazing shift of like, we should care about that. We should study that and discuss that. It was just like a background beat that has become a little weighty because fans found it and fans had a like, everyone matters. Yeah. Even Rats Tyrell and his family, they matter too. So I'm influenced by the way Rats Tyrell's death has come to prominence, if I may bend that term.
Yeah.
Ken.
This is a, yeah. Can I?
Yeah.
Go for Your it. Honor, may I read Please. Something? Tyrell's death became an emotional event for the entire planet of Aline, who had lost what was perhaps their most well-known resident. Delyn Tyrell, Rat's son, went on to found the Rats Tyrell Foundation, an organization that sought to expose the dangerous and criminal aspects that surrounded the profession of pod racing. This goes deep. This goes deep. And you're right. The revelation that was his family being ushered out... I don't want to tie it to real world tragedies, but there's a lot of times, because I'm one of those weirdos that loves watching news footage of tragic things that I experienced as a kid on the news. And it's just like, and then they took the families in the vans. That was in Phantom Menace. They were shuffling the Tyrells down the hall to collect some sort of corsage. I don't know. It's heartbreaking once I found that out. And I did not find it out, like you said, in 1999. There wasn't some Pablo Hidalgo book that said that. This was just something you eventually knew. And I don't remember when. And it broke my heart.
Yeah, people notice, people share. Jennifer, how do you feel like about that, about Rats Tyrell's death, of that kind of that shift in culture where, you know, a background death in a movie was not something we were supposed to care about. and yet people decided to care about rats. How do you feel about that?
I think it came about because the death is probably the most realistic, which is my argument for why this death is very important. Because, and I'm going to go there, we're going to get dark and grim here, but in a real life car accident, there's no heroic death. You just crashed into the wall or whatever it is, and that's it. It's lights out. Sure. Okay. So seeing how like sad, it's just like instant for Rassarel. He sees the cave coming or whatever it is. And we get this glimpse of it. That to me is the most documentary like picture of what a car accident, pod racing death would be. But people don't get heroic Qui-Gon Jinn deaths. Right? They don't get that. Very rare to die in that way. So
right. If Rats wasn't able to lay there and wait for somebody to come over to his side and you know, whisper his last wish, he isn't like I left this many credits under the mattress, son. Like, no. Just a scream and then sorry, lights out, Rats Tyrell sounds like a bonus feature that would have been on the Phantom Menace DVD back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. Why there's no punk band's name Rats Tyrell and have that song going. Later, the shout out to the folks at Wikipedia, the editors, that later during the race, when Tyrell realized he had no hope in swerving out of the obstacles before him, he panicked and screamed before his fatal crash. That is your mantra right there, Jen. This is what you're preaching in this.
Yeah, and I think it feels so like sad and senseless and just like, oh, it's just, that's it? That's it? And then when we see, I mean, it's really, you have to slow that down, the shot of his family walking by. We were trying to make sense of it, as we all do with tragedies. Who is this Rats Tyrell? What was his family? And then we learn about how his death shaped their family. Now, this is not all on screen. No. this is not on screen. But it's because we're trying to fill in the details to make sense of this senseless death.
I looked at the Wikipedia article, Ken, and I'm so glad you're reading it. And when I scrolled down farther on the whole, his son's name and his son starting this foundation, they say that's actually legend stuff, but we kept it here in the canon tab. So even the editors of Wikipedia were like, this shouldn't be in the canon tab. It should only be in legends.
Yep.
But we need closure so bad. We're leaving this legend stuff about his legacy.
Yep.
Of
you're so right.
Fighting against the violence, like closure. People need closure.
Do we know why Rats got into pod racing? Like what got him into this? I can't remember if that's in the Wikipedia or not. Was he trying to help his family, trying to create a better life for them? Like that makes it even more tragic.
You know, it says Tyrell had a drive to beat the reigning champion, the Dug. No. So it sounds like, I mean, unfortunately, it sounds like the kind of like sports story where like this little nobody from Aline could do it and there's been fundraisers and documentaries about him. And then,
no.
Lights out.
Lights out.
Lights out. Rats.
Lights
and
out.
I think, Joseph, you might have to help me here. I'm confusing some of our own Four Center lore because I do believe we had him on Databank Brawl.
Probably.
Yes, we did.
And I'm like thinking, yes. Well, no, the answer is, well, no, I think that's what we put into the story. Like he did this for his family to make money and make his, like maybe, but I think we did that.
Maybe. It's certainly, Wikipedia seems to agree with us. I don't know where that is from. Like he was determined to beat the reigning champion. But you have to imagine like, you know, he maybe all the pod racers brought their families, but it seems like, I brought all my kids to watch me do this, right? This isn't like, you get the sense that some of the other pod racers are either sort of, I don't know, Clegg Holdfast Esquire, like he doesn't really have a family. He's, you know, an alien about town kind of vibe, or a little bit more rough and ready. They're criminals, right?
Yeah.
Rats Tyrell is like that. Finally, a wholesome family man in the dark world of pod racing.
It's like, and I know you've experienced this, Joseph, and Jen, too, in any kind of performing, where it's like when you're at a stand-up comedy show and one of the comics who's just, he's out there doing it, and he's got his family and his work buddies in the crowd, and he's, you know, he works at an accounting firm during the day, and he's chasing this dream of stand-up, and then he dies on stage and you see all the family shuffle out afterwards.
No.
And his five minutes didn't go well. And you got guys like me who are just like, all right, I need to go get food after this. And I there's a, that adds to the level that you're right. I think there might've been some family, but you know, Sebulba's, there's no family there. There's nothing. He's his cohorts are there. Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of is like the MMA fighters, and when sometimes you'll see their young kids watching them get pummeled and then knocked out, and you're like, this is horrible. Their kids shouldn't witness that. How traumatizing that must be. We'll take it one step further, and Rat's Terrell family saw him die. So it's just horrible.
We will talk about Qui-Gon Jinn a little bit, but I got another question about Rat's Tyrell. So in the Wikipedia page establishes, and I believe the reference for it is some encyclopedia, that his accelerator jammed. I do not believe that there's anything in the film to communicate that, right? There's not like a cutaway of his cute little foot fighting with the accelerator or anything. So I always interpreted the film as he got distracted by the chaos that this was a mental error.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that how you interpreted the film over the years, Jennifer? That Rat's Tyrell made a mental error and he hit us the stalactite.
100% He got distracted. Maybe he looked this way. I was once in a terrible car accident when I was a teenager.
It's
come back. I was in the back seat. And it's just like that. In a moment, you're like laughing, having fun, listening to music. And literally the guy who was driving, he looked and he missed that the car in front of him was at a dead stop. And just like Rat's Tyrell. Bam! No, thankfully we did not die. We're alive. Obviously, I'm here today. But it's like changed in an instant. And I think that Rats probably had that moment of just looking off to seeing wherever what everyone was doing. And oh, there's the cave. Yep. So
there it only is. Enough time to scream. So I guess where I'm getting at, Ken, not to speak ill of the dead, but. Did Rats F up? Did he get distracted? Did he panic and scream when he could have maybe hit an ejector button or tried to jump?
I don't know if I'd want to eject in those cases. And then again, we're referring to the fine folks of Wikipedia a lot today. It's Laguna Caves. Where Krat dragons live. So they said, even if you survived, the rescue teams wouldn't go in. He was dead. He was dead from any way you slice it. Yeah. And that's the danger of the caves. And I'm with you. I think there is this kind of, terrified for you, Jen. I've got some retroactive trauma there myself with a couple accidents. Got it. But yeah, I think it is. That's life, man. That accelerator jams, you slip, you look, boom. Rats is gone.
I've been in some rear end situations, where sometimes I'm driving with somebody who really trusts their brakes. And I'm like, you've never been in a rear end type accident, have you? There is that feeling. There is that feeling. Rat's Tyrell, lights out Rat's Tyrell is quite relatable. I think for me, like watching The Phantom Menace, I want to interpret it as he made a mistake because I want to believe that we have control. But sometimes your accelerator jams and you only got time to scream. it's a hard truth. So with that in mind, let's go over and look at Qui-Gon Jinn. Did he F up? Was it Qui-Gon's fault he died? Mm-hmm. Ken?
I think so. I think he got bested. I think Maul found a strategy that worked that he also then tried to use again on Kenobi years later to a fatal cost. Speaking of mistakes, but that's Maul. This is Qui-Gon. But I think it was a case of he did everything he could and should, and it still wasn't enough. And there's a release. You talk about control, releasing that control, releasing it to not necessarily fate and destiny, because I think that takes away choices. But just this is I made a choice, and this choice has cost me. And now it's potentially costing someone else. And I, there's nothing I can do here in this moment. I'm dead. I can only hope to pass it to Obi-Wan. I do think the death was a bit of a mistake. Not that he was there. Not that Qui-Gon was there. I think the fight was noble. It is Qui-Gon's noble end. But I think it was that boom, boom. Oh, that's how it goes.
Yeah, but that's like a tactical error of just
tactical.
He got bested. Like it was a chess game. He didn't see that move coming. But it's not like a... Well... It's not like a character flaw. It's not like.
Correct.
He just lost the game, man. He just got bested.
And sometimes, like, you know, even in I have this feeling in Fortnite. I have this feeling in sports. Like it is a you go out on your shield moment. And that's just the way life takes you. You charge ahead. You fight. You died. What are you going to do? But, you know, you can then armchair quarterback it. We can go to, you know, we could literally do the Sports Center, Force Center. Let's take a replay on where he messed up and blah, blah, blah. He was in the right spot, just did the wrong things.
Jennifer, how do you feel about Qui-Gon's death? Do you feel like there's any sort of character flaw or mistake he made other than just he got bested?
No, yeah, he just lost fair and square, right? It's just the way that it is. And they're
the Darth Maul, fair and square.
Fair and square. But it really was shocking because I was like, what? We spent the whole movie with him and now he's gonna die? What are you doing to me, George Lucas? Ken, what were you gonna say?
What do you mean shocking? Did you not go to a warehouse to get the CD? Did you not?
No.
Did you know? Was it spoiled for you the first time you saw Phantom Menace?
No, I didn't know that he was going to die.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It was not spoiled for me.
Yeah.
At all.
Well, you know.
I don't think so.
We were less on the internet then. The internet existed, but we were less on it.
I'm pretty sure I have a feeling that I gasped and I was shocked.
I wish I had that experience.
I would have gotten away with it, although maybe my memory is just incredibly bad.
Well, and it might have been more online people, or depending on who you're hanging out with.
I was not online at all in that day, in those days, at all.
I'm pretty sure I knew. I knew a bunch of stuff because my manager had been reading the book and just kept telling me stuff. Like,
no.
Was out ahead of the movie. You know?
Nobody.
I had a supervisor do that a little bit at work, but didn't give me the details. And I'm double checking. I do remember every year I think I do this. The soundtrack was released on May 4th, 1999. And that was a fateful day.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention to that. I was not online. I only had my boyfriend who was into Star Wars, but not as much as me. So I was like in a cocoon.
Well, I think it was shocking, even if you did know, you know, because now it's just sort of like this happens every Tuesday that somebody gets a horrible abdomen wound in Star Wars. There's been a proliferation of abdomen wounds. And we knew that Vader cut people down, but we saw him choke Imperials. We saw him cut Luke's hand off. Scary, awful. But just like compared to the original trilogy, you know, you didn't see Darth Vader just like put a hole through Lando Calrissian, right? After spending the whole movie with him, right? So
it was violent.
And also that weird contrast between like, you know, it's more for kids and Jar Jar's going to step in the poopy and then the Satan man is going to impale the Jesus man, you know, for kids. it was shocking on lots of levels.
Life is full of awesome what ifs and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
In terms of his death being emotionally moving, Jennifer, do you find Qui-Gon's death emotionally moving as you revisit the movie?
I get angry. I get angry that he's gone. I mean, I'm happy that we got to see him again in Kenobi. I don't know. Now I have to rethink everything that I know, because I'm like, I didn't know. How did I not know? This is my memory of it now, but now I don't trust my memories.
It's a great thing.
Our memories can change, you know, over time.
They do.
So,
yeah.
Enough to ask myself.
I have a memory of having the CD in my hand at a warehouse in my hometown at the Santa Maria Mall, which I probably was visiting, but that wouldn't be accurate to the timeline. You know, I was in LA, lived in LA, but I'm like, no, I remember. I was with my friend Joel and I grabbed it and I was like, Qui-Gon's Noble End. So, yeah, memories are foggy, Jen, but.
Yeah.
Ken, how do you feel about his death these days emotionally? Does it, when you're watching the film, does it hit you? Does it feel like a tragedy still?
It does. And I think as time goes on and we have so much Star Wars storytelling behind us and more to come, it is a pretty important death. And it is pretty much tied into the fates of so many people, right? Mm-hmm. And you could argue the galaxy at large. And yeah, it does sound like I'm making a case for this being the most important death. But the question is, best death in The Phantom Menace. And I feel it. I mentioned that Filoni speech a lot from the Mandalorian Disney Gallery. I think it's episode 2. I mentioned it because I think it's beautiful. I think it's one of Dave's finest work, and I love Dave's work, but I love listening to him talk about it because I think he's right about what it means and how it connects and the emotional canon of it there. It's a big moment. And I think, you know, I also, from 1999 to now, my love and appreciation of Qui-Gon has grown, right? Mm-hmm. I liked him then. I liked Liam Neeson. That's great. But, like, I think he's the main character of that film. He's the perspective, I think, of that film in a lot of ways. And I think it's grown in stature as the character has.
Yeah. I am still moved by the death. I think there's so many great elements to it. I think I think Qui-Gon is, you know, somebody who is trying to live in the moment. He does think Anakin is the chosen one, so he is looking toward the future in that way. But other than that, like, he's just doing exactly what he said he was going to do of, like, I support you trying to take your planet back. I'm not going to fight a war for you. I'm not going to go cut the Nemodians' heads off for you. I will defend you. In the Sith is a threat and our threat to deal with and our mystery to solve. So I'll defend you. So, I mean, he's actively doing what he wants to be doing in the place he wants to be doing it, not fighting a Sith in an energy generating place. But he is fulfilling his role as a Jedi. He's defending Padme while she can have her agency to lead her planet the way she sees fit. Mm-hmm. And there's one shot. It's very short. But it has sunk in over the years to mean a lot to me. And I'm not claiming it should be in the Wikipedia article as truth. It's just the way I've always felt it. The fight goes on and on, right? And Qui-Gon just kind of, he's not fiery like Obi-Wan. He just kind of stays on him, you know, and is trying to keep him away. And in the novelization, I think they talk about him just trying to end it quickly. And it's just not ending. It's just going on and on. And pretty close to the death, there's a moment where Qui-Gon kind of pulls away from the battle, and Maul kind of sneers at him, and Qui-Gon just looks disgusted. And it's this great moment of just like, he's trying to hold back the dark side, but it's just like, it's awful for him to be like, be so close to it and have it up in his face this long, just this pile of hatred of everything that the dark side is. And I sometimes kind of feel like he just got almost overwhelmed, like wilted like a flower away from the sun, that Maul technically bested him, but also he was just like, this is awful to be this close right up to the dark side. And I think that always adds extra tragedy to it of just like, symbolically the wave of the dark side is coming, and it's just awful to him. And that's part of what overwhelms him.
Yeah. I like that. That visceral feel, the dark side up in your face. That's the face.
That's the face just growling at you. And it's just upsetting and disgusting and all those things. And I think if Anakin wasn't a factor in it, if he didn't feel like I have something really important to do, I think Qui-Gon would really be at peace with it. Cause he's like, we live, we die, we do our best, we do our service. So be it. It's the Anakin of it that makes it tragic. You know, I don't know that Qui-Gon would find it. It's like, I died in my duty. I've examined ways to continue helping people living on through the Force. But how tragic is it from Qui-Gon's point of view is, I guess, what I'm getting at. Ken, what do you think about how tragic it is from Qui-Gon's point of view?
I think it's tragic. I think it's tragic because he knows they're not saying he has a vision of the future. He's been playing with that. And, the whole question of choices and destiny and agency and those things are hanging over him. But I think in that moment, I think that's why it's so important that he kind of thrust this on Obi-Wan, right? The tragedy is my death was inevitable anyways. If it wasn't today, it was going to be another time. But the future is unwritten for this boy. The future is unwritten for this galaxy. And that's the tragedy that I can't be around here for it. And Obi-Wan, you're not ready for it, but it's your job now. Take it. Mm-hmm. And I think so that's what he's feeling there. It's definitely about Anakin. It's definitely about the bigger picture. But it's also, yes, but I think he would have gladly, Qui-Gon would have laid down his life if he knew that would save Anakin, right? If he could guarantee his path going forward, being in the light, he would have done it. So it's not his death. It's the outcome. That's the tragedy for sure.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer, how do you feel about that? How tragic is Qui-Gon's death from Qui-Gon's perspective?
I think he feels like he has unfinished business, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just like he had one more thing he wanted to get done, couldn't get it done. And he knows that that is tragic, but you're right, Ken. It's more the focus. It's not me. It's this kid, this boy, we need to help him. And obviously the galaxy. So unfinished business.
Yeah. I want to talk about this one other kind of Qui-Gon perspective, and then we can head into how we're going to make this impossible decision. I think a big part of Qui-Gon's death, obviously, is the literal, would he have done a better job for Anakin, and all of that. But there's also, like, in the structure of the film, there's this sense of, there's danger and there's all these ominous things coming, but here's this very calm, very paternal figure who I argue structurally is the main character of the film. And, Obi-Wan is ready to be a Jedi, but now he's suddenly lost this father figure. And now, Obi-Wan's just graduating college and now he has a 9-year-old to adopt, So I feel like Anakin loses a father figure. Obi-Wan loses a father figure, but also kind of the audience does. It's not as visceral or shocking as, the famous death in the first book/season of Game of Thrones, but it has a similar sense of like the noble guardian of this world is suddenly removed. How big of a deal is that to you in Qui-Gon's death? That sense of, the father figure, the calm father figure being gone suddenly, and what that does to everyone.
It scatters things. It scatters things everywhere, and it hangs over a lot of it, even if it's not directly mentioned, in both good and bad ways. And you look back on the influence that he had in the short amount of time, and and what Anakin learned from it, what Anakin felt from the loss, and then the loss of him after. And did he properly? Again, he has a minute amount of time with Anakin. Mm-hmm. The other example you're talking about, the Ned Stark, the Stark of it all, that was felt and dealt with even into season 8. And mm-hmm. I'm sure in future books, if George sits down and actually writes them. But it is huge, and it's all strings go back to it in a lot of way. And the Star Wars story is so big, and you know, I get it, and I don't necessarily think in episode 9 they're referring to it too, but it definitely everything goes like this. It's just this explosion and like you said, chaos and that not moral center, but that calm, collected, focus center, I think is gone. Even from the Jedi Order. Mm-hmm. You know, big questions. We love these kind of what ifs. I love the why of the what if, but Anakin and Qui-Gon going forward is a question. But Qui-Gon and the clones, mm-hmm. Qui-Gon and the plot unraveling, he would have had a different approach to it. And would have
the
pushed
relationship
the council
with Dooku.
The relationship with Dooku. It would have pushed things in a different direction for sure. I don't know if it still ends up the same. Palpatine's pretty good at what he does. Pretty much got his hands and pulling all the strings. I get it. But those are valuable questions. And so that loss is constantly felt. Constantly felt.
Yeah. Jennifer, how do you feel about that? You know, is a way to look at Qui-Gon's death of the loss of the father figure?
It feels very scary because makes the audience feel safe, at least for me. It mm-hmm. was like, okay, I know that things couldn't get bad, but there's going to be a parent in the room who's going to be able to either tell someone what to do or have some wisdom mm-hmm. on how to approach the situation. So the minute that you remove that, then that's the way you have a lot of these Disney movies where they kill off the parents or the mother, Bambi or Frozen, because it sets the heroes on their journey and it makes this world scary. Mm-hmm. And it makes it so that it's a much more heroic tale, right, for them to overcome all these obstacles that they face.
Yeah, and to find out that they have what they need, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Okay, well, let's get into how we're possibly going to make this decision. We've talked about some of the comedy. We've talked about some of the weight. Ken, what metric are you going to make this utterly subjective decision of the best death in Phantom Menace?
It is just that, the best death, the most important death. I'm really sticking to those words. Mm-hmm. And we could even change the words as we go along here. That's part of the fun of this show. Mm-hmm. Qui-Gon's is galaxy shattering. Qui-Gon's death never stops affecting a lot of people because galaxy wide, but individually it affects a lot of people. But man, 25 years on, when I'm in a theater, actually tonight when this episode comes out, watching it, Rats' death is going to be the one that I will react to the most. It was tragic. It was almost pointless. It was a knife in the wound with the family. We got to feel it. We got to see it. And it was a death that added weight to that race itself. Mm-hmm. Rats was the one that had to die so that we knew what the risks really were. And it is unique to Phantom Menace, right? The pod race is in that film. We haven't really seen pod races like this. We've seen other races for sure. But I don't know. I'm going back to it. And also, it is undeniably funny.
Mm-hmm. It is funny and tragic, and the family is salt in the wound, walking salt in the wound. Even Team Toe lives after being fired on by the Tuskens. Yeah, I mean, I think Qui-Gon is undeniable. I'm always moved by it. I love that lightsaber fight, and I can't wait to see it on the big screen, and it's such a shocking finale to that part of the lightsaber fight. I think it is so well shot. It is so well acted. Liam Neeson's expression of pain and shock, yeah, you know, and crumbling, and that death scene is not easy to do, right? Jennifer, as an actor, mm-hmm. like that's a pretty like melodramatic death scene of like quietly whisper your last request while touching your loved one's face is like, mm-hmm. that's trope city. That's hard to make it, you know, emotionally real. So there's so much that I love about Qui-Gon's death, but I'm going to give it to Rats for this reason. Mm. The most important part of Phantom Menace to me is that it is a film about empathy. That idea runs through Star Wars, but Phantom Menace is so hinged on the idea of symbiosis And the problem in the universe is we don't help each other. It's all about caring for everyone. And, you know, Obi-Wan being young and cocky, we've picked up another pathetic life form. And Qui-Gon's attitude, I think there's no such thing as a pathetic life form. Everyone has value. And there's something about Rat's death that was like, yep, it's an action scene beat. It's a comedy beat with some kind of dark salt rubbed in the wound by having his family walk through. And fans took it upon themselves to say, everyone matters. We're going to have empathy for this little weirdo who died in an explosion screaming because everyone matters. For empathy reasons, I got to give it to Rats. Which means, Jennifer, it is down to you to see if Rats Tyrell is going to get a clean slate in Best Death in Phantom Menace. What are your metrics? How are you making this decision? What's your decision?
My metrics are, what would I rather watch over and over again? It is about watchability for me. I love the Duel of the Fates music. I love the battle, right? But then when Qui-Gon Jinn dies, it gets me upset. And I usually will turn it off or I'll like look away. It just gets me really bummed out. However, the pod racing scene with Rat's death mixed in, it's funny. Each time I watch it, I have some sort of reaction, whether it's, ooh, or it just gets me going. And I love that scene. And obviously this backstory that fans and the Star Wars creators have created is just wonderful. It just gives it the depth that perhaps we didn't get on screen, but we knew instinctively was there.
Yeah. Well, there we go. There we go. Clean sweep. We'll let you know in the comments where you can donate to the Rats Tyrell Foundation to promote awareness of the dangers of pod racing. Click that link. Smash that link and give to Rats Tyrell. Ken, do you want to take us home?
I do. I hope a lot of you comment below because I have a feeling you'll have some strong sentiments and opinions and ideas about this episode. And that's what we want. This is the fun part of discussing Star Wars here. We can be found on all social media platforms, most social media platforms, I should say, at Force Center Pod. We're on Facebook at Force Center Podcast. We have this YouTube channel here. Subscribe if you'd like. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/Force Center for all you podcast listeners. We are still a podcast first at heart. We're available a lot of spots. Just search, you'll find us, and you can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. Follow me at Cadnapsock or my website, cadnapsock.com, where at the time of this episode's release, you got two more days to swing on over to my website's shop before I shut it down and pick up a personalized copy of my book, Why We Love Star Wars. Do it, Jen. Where can they find you?
You can find me on all the social media sites at Jennifer Landa or TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138 for a limited time, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Such suspense. You have to get the Jennifer Landa soundtrack to discover the spoilers of how that social media is going to end.
I want an entire episode on that angle, Jen, where how did you miss that? Did you? I want to know.
Yeah. I got to deep dive my soul for that.
Yeah.
It's my memories.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Joseph, a lot of stuff going on with you. Where can they find follow you?
You can find me at most of the social media at Joseph Scrimshaw. You can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for links to where our short horror film, The Nightmare Adorable, might be playing. And you can subscribe to my weekly blog. That's called Finish Your Monsters. All that information is on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. For now, the subjective wars have ended.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.